Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration for today is from Matthew chapter 18. I'll begin reading that now. Jesus says, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church, and if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." This is the word of our God. Mercy, peace, and love are yours in abundance. Amen. What does it mean to love someone? It's a tough question, isn't it? Because our relationship with that person impacts what our love looks like, right? Love between a parent and child is different than love between neighbors or a teacher and a student, or a husband and a wife. But today, the love that Jesus places before us is the love that binds together fellow Christians. That's what our gospel text is about. It's a how-to guide for loving your fellow Christian as God loves you. Now, I'm guessing you might be wondering if I read the wrong text just a little bit ago. No? Despite the prominence of sin in this reading, this is really about tough and tender love for the sinner saint. You see, tough and tender love for the sinner saint does something about sin. You heard what Jesus said. If your brother or sister sins, go and show, point out their fault. Right off the bat, Jesus is recognizing that sin will infiltrate and impact the body of believers. So he calls us to action. Christians do not just condemn sin as some concept. They don't spend their time lambasting the world for its wickedness. No, they deal with sin and sinners individually. Go and show. Tough and tender love is done best face to face. God is serious about sin. That's one of the things that the Old Testament drives home for us. From the Garden of Eden to the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land, to the wicked kings that Judah and Israel suffered under, and the exile in Babylon, God shows us that he is serious about sin. Now, he's patient and he's long-suffering, but he's never indifferent to sin and sinners. Sinners have earned God's punishment. The wages of sin is death. God is very serious about sin. Unfortunately, just because our Heavenly Father is serious about sin doesn't mean that we, his children, always are. Sometimes we decide that certain sins are not such a big deal, especially when it doesn't impact our lives directly. Then we tell ourselves we should just mind our own business. And we do that until, of course, it becomes our business. Then we'll point out how others have wronged us. Then we'll knock them down a peg or two. Then we might even feel a little good about it. But that is not why God has called us individually to deal with sin. It's not about making ourselves look or feel better. That is an ungodly motivation. We don't deal or not deal with sin because of how it makes us feel. Turning a blind eye to sin might help us maintain some surface-level pseudo-peace in an important relationship, but a Christian cannot call that love. tough and tender love treats sin for what it really is, not somebody else's business, not a poor choice, not a regrettable life decision. The wages of sin is death. God is serious about sin, so we must be too. So how do we deal with this deadly reality of sin? Well, Christ tells each one of us directly and individually that it is your responsibility to seek out the sinner and call them to repentance. When you see the sinful nature winning a battle in the heart and life of your brother or sister, this is your call to action. Sin must be confronted by tough and tender personal love for the sinner saint, because this is how our God deals with it. This is a personal assignment to you from your Lord. To do anything less is to deny his authority, to decide that some of Christ's words are less important than others. Sin is always an urgent matter, and the urgency of Christ's command stems from the deadly nature of sin. Sin kills because it separates people from the author of life, from God. Yet we still try to ignore this ugly truth. We still act as if Jesus is only talking about the most flagrant kinds of sin. We tell ourselves that we would rebuke a big sin. We would say something if we saw someone openly worshiping a false god, or killing someone, or cheating on their spouse, or stealing something valuable. Mentally, we downplay the eternal seriousness of the sins that we do see and hear in our fellow believers. Have we forgotten what Jesus says, that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of? How then can we pretend it's not a big deal when we hear believers denying any portion of God's word, slandering the church as a whole or members of the body of believers, mocking those that God has put in positions of authority, defying their laws when they don't go against God's commands? How can we pretend it's not a big deal when we hear people despising their neighbors or openly lusting after someone they're not married to or belittling the spouse God has given to them, when they tell lies or they engage in gossip? When we see and hear these kinds of sins, our first instinct is to act as if they aren't really all that serious. We tell ourselves they didn't really do anything. Nobody got hurt. We act as if wicked words are just harmless, just talk. And yet that's not the only sin we turn a blind eye to. When we see a fellow believer who's caught up in a cycle of lust, drunkenness, gluttony, greed, we tell ourselves that it's none of our business, that it would be awkward if we brought it up and said something. After all, we're not perfect. Who are we to judge? As a part of the body of Christ, you are involved. Not because you're perfect, not because God has made you the judge of the living and the dead, but because the judge of the living and the dead has commanded you to rebuke sin. He has told you that you are your brother and your sister's keeper. You are the watchman that the Lord Almighty has stationed in that place at that time. Speak up. Your insecurity, your personal guilt or shame does not exempt you. I know many of us feel disqualified from labeling sin, sin, because we're painfully aware of our own past sins. But instead of using this experience to help us speak frankly and specifically, we clam up. We do not get a pass because of our past sins. Christ did not completely pay for all of your sins with his life and his death so that you could now use them as a crutch. The wages of sin is death. We have to see an erring brother or sister as someone who is killing themselves spiritually and eternally. Unrepentant sin destroys lives forever. unrepentant sin is the greatest enemy to the church. Unrepentant sin is our call to action to bring tough and tender love to the sinner saint. Now, tough love is not the same thing as being a spiritual narc or some kind of sin detective. We are not called to scrutinize everyone's every single word or action. We must not think that we have the God-given ability to read people's hearts or that we can know someone's true motives. We don't have to sift people looking for their sin. Enough sin will expose itself. Jesus tells us when it does, we need to be obsessed with the win. We must want more than anything to win back through the word that lost brother or sister. God tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice when a single sinner repents from their sinful ways. When we care about that lost brother or sister, when we are involved, we will rejoice too. Because we know what sin does, not just to us, not just to them, but what it did to the Son of God. Sin killed our Savior. That's the heart and core of tough love. That's why God takes it so seriously. It was because of our sins and the sins of the whole world that Christ Jesus came to this earth in the first place. Every single one of us has failed to live up to the standards of the law perfectly. We have all sinned and gone astray in countless ways. Plenty of them in ways we don't even recognize. This is why Jesus came into the world. He said and did what we have not, what we could not, what we would not, in order to make us what we were not. Really righteous. Every single one of us was bought at a price. Not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The pain and the suffering that he endured in our place was tough. Unimaginable agony and sorrow. He was forsaken by his Father. Christ experienced what it was like to be on the outside of the Father's love looking in. That's something we don't wish on anybody, especially on our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we have to come to the sinner with tough love. We have to proclaim the law firmly to show people their need for a Savior. Sometimes we're blessed where a single word of rebuke powerfully produces the repentance that God rejoices in. But sometimes it takes more than once. Sometimes it even takes more than one person. But whether we go alone or with a group of two or three or with the entire church marshaled behind us, every single time calling someone to repentance takes tremendous love, tough and tender love. When the tough love, that stern preaching of the law that says living this way is separating you from God's eternal love for you, when that works, the Holy Spirit produces a broken and contrite heart. The sinner is not called to undo their sin. They are not called to make up for the wrong that they have done. They are called to recognize their guilt and cry out to the Lord for mercy, longing for love. God's tender love. God's that kind of love too. Christ, who paid the price for our sins, commands us to forgive as freely as he has forgiven us. By God's undeserved and unconditional love, we offer that same tender love on behalf of our Savior. Knowing our own past sins humbles us as we deal with sinners. It makes us more patient, more tender, more concerned with someone's eternal soul. But it doesn't silence the word of God. God always forgives the broken sinner freely. That's his grace. It's undeserved. It's unconditional. It's unearned. But that doesn't mean that God's gracious love, his forgiveness, is valueless. No, it's a priceless treasure that we extend freely to the repentant. Nobody can earn forgiveness by what they say or what they do, by their sorrow or their groveling. But as the Holy Spirit works a repentant spirit in our hearts, Christ's sacrifice, his life and death and resurrection are applied to our sin. His work has atoned for our guilt and shame. His blood has bought us back. No other blood, no other sacrifice, no other man could do all this. This is the priceless treasure we want to share with all the lost. This is the tough and tender love that every single sinner saint needs. This is why we call people to repentance. Because we love them. Every believer needs to hear the law when they sin. They need to recognize that they're treating the priceless treasure of Christ's righteousness as worthless. Christ died for your sin. Why should you live in it any longer? But our Savior does more than just highlight the deadly nature of sin. He points living, struggling saints back to the healing power of the gospel. He says this alone wins our brothers and sisters over. And you and I have been given the great pleasure of being a part of this victorious moment. We're not only personally and individually summoned to point out sin, but we are also called to point repentant sinners back to their Savior. We get to be an integral part of a moment that causes the angels in heaven to celebrate. And when that happens, we should celebrate too. Because we're doing what the church is called to do. An ambitious church takes her cues from her Christ. We go to seek and save the lost. Our goal is restoration, not retribution. Our goal is to pronounce that Christ has already made full restitution for all of our sins. He calls us to reconcile sinners to him. And whenever we feel overwhelmed in our pursuit of the lost, we find extra support in the body of believers. We are refreshed and reinvigorated through word and sacrament. We are spurred on and encouraged as we gather together with fellow believers who know the eternal consequences of this opportunity, of this responsibility, of this privilege. As brothers and sisters in Christ, your fellow Christians are called, personally commanded by Christ to pursue you like Christ did, to seek you when you become entranced by sin, to call you to repentance, and then to offer you the priceless forgiveness from your Savior, and you're called to do the same for them. This is what Christian love is and does. Christian love means pursuing the lost in our midst with urgency and fervor, not letting sin slide, but constantly calling the lost back to their Savior, leading the wandering back to the Word made flesh. That's what it means to love someone as Christ loved us. Love among Christians looks different than love in this world. It is about loving them as Christ loved us, and that includes rebuking one another profitably, with the only goal being winning back that wandering brother or sister. Love among Christians is about forgiving pricelessly because each of us was purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb. May God bless and keep us as we practice this tough and tender love according to his command, according to his strength, according to his promise. That where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It was a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you God's tough and tender love. for you and for me. May God continue to bless and keep us as we put this love into practice in our daily lives among the body of believers. If you'd like to learn more about what we believe and teach and practice here at River of Life Lutheran Church, I invite you to visit our website, azriveroflife.com. May God continue to bless and keep you.